Something. Well, brothers and sisters, I know that in our lifetime, we have experienced how it is to be down and out. Excuse me. We have experienced how to be alone and how it was to be hitting the rock bottom. But like the Bible says, just turn your eyes to God and we will be sheltered in the arms of God.
Feel the touch of hands so kind and tender. They're leading me in paths that I must run. I have no fear, for Jesus walks beside me.
Church family.
What a joy and a privilege it is to be here at San Jose Central. For us, it's been a while. But every time we think of San Jose, we have very, very sweet thoughts, very good thoughts. and wonderful memories. I know last time we were here, we were two, and now you see four. That's how God is leading in our home, and those it may make sense. That is so. We'll be able to share details afterwards. But we covet your prayers, and you know, what a blessing it is to teach children about the love of Jesus, to guide them in the way that they should go. Not just because of it's my house, my rules, but in the way that we should go for eternity. As we get into the Word of God, I'd like to invite you to bow your heads. Loving Father, we thank you because you are the God who is passionate about your children, a God who loves us more than we can ever begin to understand. And as we speak, you prepare a place for us with our names on them. And Father, you're wanting us to be ready for the event of all events. So we ask that your Holy Spirit help us to put aside things of the week, our troubles and our cares. I pray that you'll help us to be awake and attentive. I pray that you'll help us to listen to what you're trying to tell us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Fly away. Wouldn't you like to fly away? I mean, with all of the garbage that we see in our world, all the suffering and pain, I don't know about you, but there's got to be something better than this. What do you think? Our text for today that we'll be focusing on is Genesis 5, 21 to 24. The Bible says, "And Enoch lived 65 years and begat who? Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were what? 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, why? God took him. Enoch never died. Enoch is in heaven, according to the Bible. He never had a funeral service. There was no funeral procession for Enoch. He got to see glory without seeing death." Let me tell you something about Enoch. Enoch was a Seventh-day Adventist. No, seriously. You see, Enoch believed in the second coming of Christ. And Enoch, according to my Bible and your Bible, he kept the holy Sabbath day. Amen? Enoch was a Seventh-day Adventist. But you know, Enoch thought that just because he was a Seventh-day Adventist, he thought he was converted. It's a good thing we never think that. I mean, sometimes we're looking at the Bible as if it was simply a book of truth. As if it's some dictionary of things that lets us know of what the Bible says, and that's it. Okay, I know about God. I can study and learn about marriage. I can study and learn about salvation. I can learn about the Sabbath. I can learn about creation. I can learn about the investigative judgment, or the health message, or the spirit of prophecy, or the three angels' messages, or the Holy Scriptures, or the millennium, or the second coming, the Trinity, the state of the dead, what happens when you die, the stewardship, all these good things, and there's a longer list to complete the 28. But we could be tempted to think that once we know this, that means we're converted. That's the furthest thing from the truth. Granted, there is an element of conversion in that maybe my previous faith was Catholic, and now I've come to see what the Bible says, and now I've converted to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, or maybe Baptist, Lutheran, Pentecostal, what have you. There is an element of truth to that, but that is not conversion. Believing all these things as if we're converted. Let me tell you something about Enoch. Enoch thought he was converted too, until something happened. You know what the thing was that converted him, or was the process that enabled him to be converted? You see, he thought he was converted until he had kids. You laugh, but it's true. You see, Spirit of Prophecy says, for 300 years, Enoch had been seeking purity of soul, that he might be in harmony with heaven. For 3 centuries, he had walked with God. Taken from My Life Today, page 341. You see, if I were a Bible writer of writing about the life of Enoch, I would have written, and Enoch walked with God 365 years, and then God took him. But no, your Bible says, and my Bible says, that Enoch lived 65 years, then he had Methuselah, and then he walked with God. Isn't that what the Bible says? Does that mean that if you don't have kids, you're not converted? No, that's not what the pastor's saying. For 65 years, Enoch lived without walking with God, as God was wanting him to. Because sometimes we think that just coming here or just being a Christian, that's enough. It's not enough. Are we not here because we're walking with God? Because we can know all the doctrines that the Bible teaches, but we could still yet not walk with God. Did he not have a relationship with God during these years? Yes, he did, but it wasn't as close as it needed to be. You see, children is what God used for Enoch's conversion. What is God using for your conversion? That's the question. Maybe for our conversion, God allows us to lose a loved one, where we finally realize, whoa, life is fragile. My loved one used to be here. They're no longer here. Where am I with God? Or maybe God will use this for our conversion. He will allow us to have kids. And we start thinking, you know, this parenting business ain't no joke, because now I have to be the example to this little one. And if I do wrong, they're going to do wrong. And if I do right, the probability of them doing right increases. I wish it were very consistent. Or maybe for our conversion, God allows us to go through a divorce in which we realize, man, I'm all by myself. How do I go through life now that I'm by myself and with this pain? Or maybe for my conversion, I am allowed to go through a terminal illness, and I realize that I need God. Or maybe for our conversion, we lose our job and we don't know how our bills are going to get paid. Or maybe one day I finally woke up. You see, conversion is not a point in time where you can say, this is when I was converted. Conversion is a consistent daily experience with Jesus. At least it needs to be. Where today I have an experience with Jesus. Tomorrow, if he allows me to have another day, I have an experience with Jesus. And every single day until Jesus returns. The question remains, am I really walking with God as Enoch walked with God? Because how close did Enoch walk with God? So close that God took him. God took Enoch to heaven. Enoch can look and see us now. He's been in our shoes. He's walked the walk and talked the talk. Something else about Enoch is that he believed in what you believe. What is that? That Jesus is coming soon. Do you believe that? Jesus is coming soon. And as we hear that, we start thinking about Jesus' second coming. And one of the things that we do is that we start justifying our actions. Oh yeah, Jesus is coming back. But you know what? Here's some good news, preacher, because the good news is that I'm not as bad as so-and-so. So that must mean I must be a good Christian. Or maybe I start justifying my action by saying, what I'm doing is not as bad as that other person. But the last time I checked, I'm not the example. Christ is the example. Or maybe we start rationalizing our views of the second coming. How so, you ask? We start thinking, well, it was so much easier when Enoch lived on earth. Enoch didn't have to deal with Facebook and Instagram. Enoch didn't have to deal with CNN and Fox News. Enoch didn't have to deal with gangbangers. Enoch didn't have to deal with all of this garbage. So, I mean, when the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, that's easy peasy, preacher. Really? Let's see what the Spirit of Prophecy tells us. There never has been and never will be an age when the moral darkness will be so dense as when Enoch lived a life of irreproachable righteousness. Manuscript 43, year 1900. Easy peasy? I don't think so. Just as we think that this world is so dark and so bad, it was even worse in the time of Enoch. How bad? God had to send a flood. That's how bad it was. Amen. Or maybe when we think about Jesus' second coming, out that it's happening all together. Now, there's no way that Jesus can be coming back. I mean, I got to go to work on Sunday or Monday. I got to do this. I got to see my kids do that. I got to get married and the whole nine yards. No. Jesus is coming when he chooses to come. Is that as if Jesus isn't coming? Because if I believe that Jesus is coming, guess what? My life will look like it. But if I don't believe that Jesus is coming, guess what? The opposite is also true. Is Jesus coming? You Bible students, you know the prophecies of Daniel chapter 2 and Daniel chapter 7, Revelation 13. He is coming and he's at. Do our lives testify that Jesus is coming soon? If somebody were to hang out with you for the next 24 hours, would they know that Jesus is coming back soon? By the way that I live and by the way that you live. Does our church testify in word and deed that Jesus is coming soon? When you get together as a board meeting, are the decisions that you make as the leaders of this church say that Jesus is coming soon? Or we're just saying, you know what? Let's just sweep this under. Are decisions that we as a church make testify that Jesus is coming soon? But did Enoch really believe in the second coming of Christ? Or am I just making a big deal about nothing? The Bible says, Jude 14 and 15, "Now Enoch, seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." This kind of sounds like not Jesus' first coming. This is Jesus' second coming. Recently, I was giving a Bible study to a couple of students, and it was on Jesus' second coming. And as we were studying about that topic, it was interesting because they started putting the dots together. And as Enoch heard from God himself coming again, that he would come to execute judgment, he started connecting the dots together too. Jesus is coming. Period. Jesus, not only is he coming, Jesus only. Jesus is coming in all of his glory. Jesus is coming and it will be decisive. In other words, there won't be another time to make a decision for Christ. When he comes, if we made our decision for him, the Bible says, let him who is righteous be righteous too. And he who is unrighteous, let him be unrighteous too. In other words, the time to seek Jesus is when, church? You put the dots together too. Enoch must have asked himself, how in the world was he going to preach this message that Jesus is coming back? You see, to preach this message, you must believe this message. And once we believe this message, we can't help but preach this message. If we believe it. If we think he's not coming back, we can't preach it. You see, Enoch understood that the only way the message that he believed could be preached was by living the message. How do we live the message of Jesus' second coming? The Bible is very clear. Hebrews 11, verse 5, the Bible says, by what?
Faith.
By what?
Faith.
Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he did what? He pleased God. Interesting. The Bible says that Enoch pleased God. Well, how in the world did Enoch please God? Well, the next verse tells us. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to what? To please him. Faith is that secret ingredient that the Bible tells us was the way that Enoch pleased God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We were driving down Wednesday from Oregon, and in our minivan, as the kids are behind us, they have a lamp close by, and it wasn't working, and it was dark, and they wanted to get it to turn on. And they got into talking about wishing. Oh, we should wish on this star about this or that. And then I said, you know, wishing on a star is cool. But what about talking to the one who made the stars? It's called prayer. And so we stopped right there and we prayed that God would show us how to get those back lamps on in the minivan. We prayed, and I felt impressed that I needed to press a certain button in the car. I pressed the button, and the rear lamps that the kids were wanting to have lit came on. And the response from our little boy was, he's alive! He's alive! He's alive! And it was much louder than that, let me tell you. The Bible says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. Amen. And that he is a rewarder of who? Of those who casually seek him. Of those who seek him when they're up a creek without a paddle. Of those who seek him when the pastor tells them to. Of those who seek him diligently. The question is, do I seek God diligently? Day by day, he had longed for what kind of union? A closer union. Nearer and nearer had grown the communion until God took him to himself. He had stood at the threshold of the eternal world, only a step between him and the land of the blessed. And now the portals opened. The God so long pursued on earth continued. And he passed through the gates of the holy city, the first from among men to enter there. But let me tell you, church family, he was the first, but he won't be the last. Will that be you? Will that be me? Am I comfy where I'm at, Pastor? I like where I'm at. I can say the right things and look like I'm doing the right things. And that must mean I'm good. No. When I'm with the one who is good, then I'm good. Because my Bible tells me, how can I, whom used to doing what is bad, do good? Can a leper change his spots? And me being the sinner that I am, can I really claim for me, myself, and I to be righteous? Not without Jesus. Not without Jesus. You see, the Christian walk is not for those who are weak. Walking with Jesus isn't for some weakling. Walking with Jesus is the biggest challenge that you will ever face. Because you're swimming upstream. Because everybody else is swimming downstream. They're just going with the flow. It was through what kind of conflict? Constant conflict. And what kind of faith? Simple faith that Enoch walked with God. So if you're trying to walk with God and it seems very difficult, you're on the right track. You may all do the same. Hallelujah. You may be thoroughly converted and transformed. I want that. And be indeed children of God, enjoying not only the knowledge of his will, but by your example, leading others in the same path of humble obedience and consecration. Real godliness is diffusive and communicative. I got a question for you. Who lived the longest on earth? Methuselah. Who was Methuselah's daddy? Enoch. Do you think there could have been a connection between those two things? The example that Enoch left his son, and he then lived the longest among men on earth. I wonder what our lives and how our faith will impact future generations. We just dedicated Sophia Rose today. What will be the next generation? We have two little ones with us here today in our home, and we wonder what will be the example that we have left them that will change their lives, and they in turn will change other people's lives. That is the question. To him, Enoch, was committed the message of the second coming of Christ. Church family, who would that be today? Oh, that's right. Seventh-day Adventists. We have been committed the message of Jesus' second coming. Amen? The message preached by Enoch and his translation to heaven were a convincing argument to all who lived in his time. These things were an argument that Methuselah and Noah could use with power to show that the righteous could be translated. In other words, those who lived during Noah's and Methuselah's day, they could hear from these men of God that it's worth to follow God. That life isn't just going to another funeral and another funeral, that there is something better left for you and I. And what's left better is what the Bible says. I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as those who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who fall asleep in Jesus, those who have died. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Now get this, here's the goodie. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. Is it worth it to walk with Jesus? He who through the word of God has lived in fellowship with heaven will find himself at home in heaven's companionship. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. He through the word of God has lived in fellowship with heaven will find himself at home in heaven's companionship. I'd like to give you one last verse for today, then you can go home. Matthew 18, verse 3 and 4, the Bible says, and said assuredly, I say to you, unless you are what? Converted. And become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I used to read this verse and think that God was simply telling me that I need to be humble. And it wasn't until we had children that I understood what the... You can get some sound on my laptop if it's not on already. One day, a week and a half ago, I was out at prayer meeting. Mama was home with the kids. And I got a text from my wife saying, call me when you get in the car. Get home quick. So I call her up, and she said, the kids really miss you. Get here as soon as you can. Okay? So I'm flying down the freeway. I get it out of the car, make my way through the house, and not knowing what to expect. And my wife was taking this video, and I'd like to show you what happened as I made my way towards little ones. I think we're having some sound challenges. Let's try that again. Actually, I'll just use this mic. I don't know if you heard that, but it was an excitement where our little boy was saying, "Daddy, Daddy, Daddy, Daddy." And then I understood what Jesus was talking about. Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. What is it that our little boy wanted more than anything at that moment? It's Daddy. My question is, what is it that we're wanting more than anything at this moment? The Bible says that that God is a rewarder of those who is time with God one where I am seeking Him so much where I cannot wait to be with God because that is my greatest desire? Am I seeking God more than my little boys wanting me to come home? I mean, think about it. Our little ones have only been with us for so long, and I'm just a man. Let's talk about God. He's the one who made us. He's the one who died for us. He's the one who's coming back for us. He's the one who blessed us through all this week. Should we not want to seek Him diligently? Or is it that maybe He's not coming? The old gospel hymn says, "I'll fly away, O glory. I'll fly away." Will you fly away? Because the Bible says that Enoch walked with God. And he was not because God took him. How did Enoch walk with God? The Bible says by faith. That's how he pleased God. Our closing hymn says, "When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal, bright, and fair, when the saints are gathered over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder, will you be there? I want to be there. How about you?" If that's your choice, to seek God and walk with God closer than you've ever done in your life because He is your passion, I'd like to invite you to stand. It's time to make our minds up, family. It's time to seek God today, not tomorrow. We don't have tomorrow. We have today. It's time to be ready for Jesus. It's time to be united with my family and seeking God. It's time so that by my example, the generations to come after me preach to others in life and in word and deed that Jesus is coming. Let us pray. Father, thank you because you've spoken to us today. I thank you because it is possible to walk with Jesus. It is possible to go to heaven without seeing death when Jesus comes back. And Father, you've told us that the only way to you is through Jesus the Son, the way, the truth, and the life. And today we want Jesus more than anything. And Father, we also confess that maybe some things might have taken some priority in our life that should not be that way, where maybe you're not the priority. Father, send your Spirit to convict us from what needs to be different so that every day we may want Jesus more than anyone, more than anything, every day. Prepare a people, Father. You promised that there would be, and I believe that you're preparing us today. Thank you for your promises, for they're still true, and Jesus is still coming back. In you we trust, in Jesus' name, amen. You may remain seated as we sing our closing.